This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Thursday, March 5th. Good morning. I'm Jeff Daly. Here's today's headlines. Wine exports to Canada drop 78%. Water contractor policy priorities. Grizzlies could return to California and Schumer targets Packers. U.S. wine exports to Canada plunged 78% in 2025. That after Canadian provinces removed American wine from store shelves in retaliation for U.S. tariffs. That's according to trade data highlighted by the Wine Institute. The drop wiped out $357 million in export value and flipped a $254 million U.S. wine trade surplus in 2024 into a $90 million deficit in a single year. Canada had been the top export destination for American wine, accounting for 36% of global U.S. wine exports and 460 million in shipments in 2024. By 2025, Canada's share fell to 12%, destabilizing what the industry had long relied on as its anchor export market. Wine Institute interim president and CEO Steve Gross said that for many wineries, Canada wasn't just another export destination. It was the market that made international growth possible. The Institute estimates 81% of total U.S. wine export losses in 2025 stemmed from the Canadian ban, and it's urging U.S. and Canadian leaders to restore market access. The state water contractors yesterday released their 2026 policy priorities for the state water project. The policy platform highlights six main goals: maintaining water affordability, repairing and modernizing infrastructure, improving operational efficiencies, supporting electric grid reliability, securing environmental flows, and advancing science-based water management. SWC General Manager Jennifer Pierre said regulatory and legal pressures are increasing the cost and difficulty of operating the state's primary water delivery system. She warned that each year, legal, regulatory, and legislative actions make it more difficult and expensive for the state water project to deliver water. Among the group's priorities, securing funding to repair subsidence damage affecting key canals and aqueducts, advancing the Delta Tunnel, and improving Delta operating rules to capture more stormwater flows. The platform also calls for policies that recognize the SWP's role in maintaining electric grid reliability and for continued investment in scientific research to guide water operations. The legislature is considering a bill to study whether grizzly bears could return to California more than a century after the species was wiped out. Under SB 1305 by Senator Laura Richardson of South Bay, the California Department of Fish and Wildlife would be required to develop a roadmap for reintroducing grizzlies. CDFW would evaluate habitat suitability, population modeling, long-term viability thresholds, and ecological impacts. The program would work in consultation with Native American tribes and in coordination with researchers, local governments, landowners, other stakeholders. Any return of grizzly bears would be prohibited until the state determines a self-sustaining population is biologically viable and procedures are in place to minimize risks to people and property. Grizzly bears once occupied most of California, but were exterminated by 1924 following decades of hunting and conflict with settlers and ranchers. Supporters argue the species is a keystone predator that could help restore ecological balance if reintroduced. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer of New York is expected to announce a bill aimed at breaking up major meat packers. The legislation would require processors to stick to one type of meat and impose hard caps on beef market concentration at regional and national levels. That's according to a section-by-section summary that was obtained by AgriPulse. According to the summary, the bill would make it unlawful for major meatpacking conglomerate to control more than one major type of meat. On beef specifically, the bill would, quote, impose hard caps on the concentration of beef markets at both the regional and national levels, relying on standard competition metrics to trigger mandatory deconcentration, the fact sheet says. The bill also would authorize the Federal Trade Commission to force foreign-controlled enterprises to divest themselves of U.S. meatpacking and processing assets. It would order a comprehensive study of the financing, ownership structures, and competitive effects of foreign-controlled meat and food processing enterprises. The bill isn't going anywhere, but it gives Democrats a way to respond to concerns about the cost of living. A Court of International Trade judge has weighed in on tariff refunds, finding that importers should benefit from the Supreme Court ruling and get emergency tariffs returned. The order applies to almost all importers, even if they haven't filed their own cases. Any importer that is still waiting for their tariff calculations to be finalized would benefit, which can take more than 10 months. So would some importers that have recently had their rates finalized after the judge asked Customs and Border Protection to redo the final calculations without the scrap tariffs. But that doesn't necessarily mean refunds are on the way. A trade lawyer granted anonymity to discuss the case tells AgriPulse the Trump administration will likely appeal the ruling. It can also ask the Federal Circuit for a stay while the appeal plays out. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent says the administration will likely raise its global tariff this week, as President Trump teased last month. Trump imposed a 10% global tariff in the wake of a landmark Supreme Court ruling on his emergency tariffs last month to recover some of the lost duties. He said in a social media post last month that it would rise to 15%. That's likely sometime this week, Bessent said in an interview with CNBC yesterday. Further, he added that he has a, quote, strong belief that tariff rates will return to their previous level from before the ruling within 5 months. That would not be welcome news for many U.S. ag groups, which have urged the administration to rethink its tariffs on farm inputs. If applied uniformly, the hike would also put some countries' tariff rates above those they faced before the ruling. Some analysts are skeptical that the new global tariff is legal. The statute underpinning the duties, known as Section 122, is supposed to address balance of payment crisis. The National Taxpayers Union, Brian Riley, argues these crises cannot technically occur under the U.S. floating exchange rate system. Trade deficit, he argues, are, quote, conceptually distinct from balance of payment issues. Here's today's final word. We call this Derek's placemat for his two-year-old to eat his French fries off of. That's CDFA Secretary Karen Ross referring to a hefty strategy document outlining the state's Jobs First plan, and to Derek Kirk, who led the effort as a senior advisor at the Governor's Office of Business and Economic Development. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Thursday, March 5th. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Chuck Daly.